thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit, take me deeper still. Till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and His perfect will. Deeper, yes, I pray. Lord, in the precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, though we cross our trials, deeper let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. Precious holy word. Deeper, higher, every day in Jesus, till all conflicts pass. Finds me conqueror, and in His own image, perfected at last. Deeper yet I pray, and higher every day. Precious holy word, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in a precious holy word.
Africa, shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of coming again together at your feet, even for this Bible study. Thank you for where you started us all, what God looks for in his vessel. And in this particular section, you are looking at what God looks at in the man or the woman he intends to use. Our Father and our God, as we go on today again, please reach out to us individually. As we sit down, as we study, let the word of God mix with faith in our hearts. Let it do us good. Let it profit us. We ask, Father, that let it prepare us and fashion us to be such vessels, channels, through which your blessing, your grace, your power may flow to our communities and to our generation. Holy Spirit, we ask that you please undertake for us. Take away the veil from our eyes as we go from one scripture to another. And let the word of God come to us with simplicity. Let it come to us with grace. Let it come to us in such a manner that it will be effective even in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have gathered either as a group or as a family or as a Bible study class or as a discipleship class. There are churches that have adopted this weekly Bible study as their study time. We do ask you, Lord, to bless everyone, those that meet with us on YouTube, those that are with us on Zoom like this, and those that are joining us on their Facebooks, on Telegram, on MixLR, and those that have come to us on other language channels, the Francophone channel, the Chichewa channel, and all other channels, we ask that your hand will be strong upon us. And anyone who has come into this meeting today with a particular need, a need in their lives, a need in their hearts, a need in their family, the Bible says, God sent forth his word, and he heals them and delivers them from all their destructions. So, Lord, we ask as your word coming, the entrance of your word giveth light. Let there be light. Let every darkness turn away. Let every yoke be broken by the reason of the anointing, and let the word of life impart life to as many as are hearing us. And those, O God, whom you have brought, who have come from various challenges of darkness and other issues that have bothered their lives, may today be a day of their deliverance, and may your spirit work so deeply that they themselves will come into an experience of Christ and Him crucified. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We do more than we can ask or imagine. As you use this Bible study to keep building an army for yourself across the nations, thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Pastor Mark has already introduced to you where we are. We have been in this particular book, the What God Looks For in His Vessel. And today we are starting chapter 4. Chapter 4 in the second section that we started with, what God looks at in the man He uses. So we are today looking at the stony heart. And that will be from page 69, as the Lord will be leading us. And then our Bible study outline for today is also available. I'm sure several of us have downloaded it, and you can have your own copy. Either you print it by yourself, or you use your tablet to come along. That's what we're going to be doing today, as the Lord will help us. So we're dealing today with the stony heart. Last week, we concluded our study on the wayside heart. And how did we come to all these kind of hearts? It is that we read from the Word of God in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And I think we should repeat that just to kick us off again. Mark chapter 4. Let me ask Sister Sarah from Belize to read Mark chapter 4 for us. And you read from verse 3. Read it for us up to verse 9. And then we'll ask our Sister Francia to pick the same passage. But now you read it from verse 13 and get it to verse 20. That's the entire passage. We just want to refresh our mind with it before we go to what we are studying today. Sister Sarah, Mark chapter
4. Yes, sir. Good morning.
All from verse 3. Yeah, thank you.
I'm reading Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9 from the King James Version. Beloved, there went out sowed, some fell by the wayside, and some fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that had an ear to hear, let him hear. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Sister Francia, can you take it from verse 30?
Yes, sir. New King James Version. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for reading the scriptures. Now, we decided to read that just to give us the biblical base for what we are talking about. First, Jesus Christ already said, this parable is very, very fundamental in understanding all other parables of the kingdom. And that this parable shows the three things that makes for the kingdom of God. And whenever God wants to do anything with any man's life in any place, these are the things that happen. We saw that God, the sower, must go out to sow the seed. We said God sows his word. Nobody is naturally useful until God's word had been planted in that man's life. And because the word of God is the seed of the kingdom life, every time the kingdom life is to germinate and grow in any man's life, it has to be because the seed of the word of God has been cast there. Say, how will they believe of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear when they have not been, the word of God has not been preached to them? So we saw that in a very critical manner, for anything to happen, the word of God, the seed, had to be sown. But the result of the seed that is being sown, when the sower is already eager, when the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, is being cast. Now, the last S that is very, very critical in the three S's that we are looking at, the sower, the seed, the soil, is the soil. And in this parable, we saw that there are four kinds of soil, which represents different kind of hearts of men and women into which the word of God can be cast. So last week, we were concluding our study on the wayside heart. That's the one that fell by the wayside. And we saw how the word of God said, it showed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. In verse 13, as he was giving the explanation, he said, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we spent time studying what is the condition of the wayside heart. And I believe that if you had followed that study with the outline and with the chapter 3 on the book, you will see so much that God led us to discuss. But if you were not there with us last 2 weeks when we started doing that, I will request or cancel that you can go back on the YouTube. Is being recorded, and you can always access the messages, or if you get in touch with any of our contacts, they will guide you. Now, this week, we're now coming to look at the second kind of heart that the Lord Jesus again highlighted in that parable. We're taking this time because these are the real situation that Jesus already set. And that if we do not gain proper understanding of this parable, the principles by which the kingdom of God ever works, we might just be beaten about the bush. So we saw that no matter what, the condition of a man's heart has a very critical role to play. In fact, it is a very, very indispensable factor in whatever God can do with a man's heart. The heart of every matter is the heart. And so when we are looking at those whose heart are on the stony ground, we want to study that particularly today, trusting the Lord to help us. So what I would like to do as we begin, I would like you to first turn to your outline, the stony heart, the outline that we have made on chapter 4. And I should read the introduction before we start reading the Bible itself, the scripture. So in the last study, we focus on understanding the characteristics and peculiar dangers of having a wayside heart, which is the first type of heart highlighted in the parable of the sower by our Lord Jesus Christ. Despite God's good intention in sending his word sown as a seed into the heart of the hearer, the heart's condition remains the variable which determines the outcome. The heart is what determines whether the word of God will prosper you or whether you will not prosper with the word of God. Whether it will profit you, whether it will grow your life, whether it will produce all the biblical promises that God has made, whether it will bring healing even to your body and to all that you are doing, it will depend on the condition of your own heart. Now we said the heart is the factor, is the determinant matrix in whatever God is able to do with any man. This is a condition that doesn't change. Every time God looks at a man, he looks at his heart. The only reason why they did not anoint Eliab, Jonadab, and all the senior brothers of David in the house of Jesse was the condition of their heart. God said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, don't look at his height of stature, don't look at his muscular presentation, don't look at anything, look into his heart. I, the Lord, I don't look at outward appearance, I look at the man's heart. So if God is going to look at me, if God is going to look at you, he will be looking at your heart. And so today, as we begin to seek to understand what is the heart on the stone, what is the stony heart, are there scriptures that we can study that help us to discover that kind of heart? As we go through scriptures, you then discover that even though Jesus mentioned it briefly here, he was actually dealing with a condition of heart that has hindered many people from becoming anything tangible in the purpose of God. So in this study, we will focus on the second type of heart in the parable of the sower, the stony heart. We shall trust the Lord for a deeper understanding of the nature and characteristics of this type of heart. As we go through this study, may the Lord lead you into the discovery of the kind of heart that you possess and reveal to your spirit the abundant provision he has made for the way out. The more we study, the more we are praying, reveal my heart to me. The kind of prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139, he said, search me, O God, and try my heart today, and know if there be any wicked way inside of me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Such a prayer, you can never overpray it. And you can never graduate from asking God to look into your heart and check if anything has entered into that heart that is making it unusable to God. So we go to number two in that outline. We're working with the outline first before we take time to read a bit of the book today, as the Lord will be leading us. Now, the nature and characteristics of the stony heart. The nature and the characteristics of the stony heart. That's the first issue we want to confront this time. Let us examine the nature and characteristics of the stony heart. A stony and a rigid heart. The first consideration we want to take under that point is that it is a heart hardened by sin. I want to read scriptures now. Please, as we are reading scriptures, it's a Bible study because it is a Bible study. Now, it's a Bible study, so it's very important that you also carry your Bible. It's not just a preaching, it's a study. So take your Bible as we are reading, going from one verse to another. And if the Lord begins to strike your mind with something that is very striking, we want you to take note of it. If possible, you could send us in a chat. If we cannot take it now, we'll take it maybe during our practical discussions or whatever may happen. So let's check. We're going to read Luke 8, verse 6 and verse 13. Sister Sarah, you will pick that for us. Luke chapter 8 from verse 6 and verse 13. And Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. Brother Mark, you will help us with that. Then Proverbs 28, 13 to 14. Sister Francia, and you will also now start again to read Proverbs 15, 12. So we locate you in Proverbs for this time. And then Sister Sarah, you will now come back to Psalm 25, verse 9. And then Brother Mark, you finish off with Isaiah 57, verse 15. Let's begin to go through the scripture as the Lord helps us. Luke chapter 8, verse 6 and verse 13, Sister Sarah.
Yes, sir. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 6. Some fell upon a rock, and because it lacked moisture. That's verse 6. And then verse 13 says, they on the rock are...
We are going to verse 13. Within verse 6,
which when they hear, have no root. Yes. These have no root, which for a while believe.
Wow. It looks as if Sister Sarah's network is not strong. Sister Sarah, your network does not appear strong. So I will read that on your behalf. I will pray that your network will come well. Luke chapter 8, verse 6. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Then verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fell away. So that is Luke 8, 6 and 13. Brother Mark?
Zechariah, yes, sir.
7:11-12.
Yes, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. This too is the New King James Version.
All right.
But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes. They made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law. and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, on Proverbs 28:13, Sister Francia.
Yes, New King James Version.
Yes.
He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity.
Calamity, yes.
And then Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Amen.
A scoffer does not love the one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. 25:9, Sister Sarah, are you back?
Can you hear me?
We're hearing you.
Proverbs 25, verse 9 says, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself.
We are not able to catch that very well this time. We'll keep trying and see. But maybe Dioye can check if there's a way around it, or if we get another support, either from Sister Jenna, if her system is able to be reading for us, then we can call her up to read. Sister Jenna, if your system is okay, you'll be helping us to read. So we're reading Psalm 25, verse 9 at this point. 25:9. Psalm 25, verse 9.
Sister Janelle, you can please step in and to help us out. We will make you co-host shortly. Just 1 minute.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Psalm 25, verse 9.
Yes.
New King James, excuse me, Old King James. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way.
Right. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Isaiah 57:15, Brother Mark.
Yes, sir. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. New King James says, but thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, the first critical point we're raising in understanding the heart that is hardened by sin. We noted that whereas in Luke 8, the Bible simply says some seed fell on stony ground. And because it did not have moisture, doesn't have the depth of soil, even though it sprang up, it has no capacity to grow roots. And so it dried up. Now we're going to talk about that, but we see that something normally makes a man's heart hard and make it stony. And the first indication we saw is reading from Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11 and verse 12. He said, they refused to heed. They shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Now, what is the point there? When a man hears the word of God and continues to refuse to heed, every time you hear God's word and you will not allow it to penetrate, you are doing one thing to your heart. You are hardening your heart. Every time the word of God comes and your first response is to shrug your shoulders like this and stop your ear so that you will not hear. It is not just your ears that you have done something with. It is not your shoulder that you shrug like this. Something that you have done is that you have made your heart hardened. So every time the word of God comes to a man and he does not have the desire to obey it, what he does is that he hardens his heart. And the more you harden your heart, the more you harden your heart, it becomes a stony heart. It becomes a hardened heart. It may start little by little gradually because you don't want to hear a particular message, or the word of God that is coming to you is convicting you on an area that you just don't want to let go. And so whenever they are opening that scripture, you close your eyes, you close your heart. You say, no, I don't want that. Nobody should tell me that. Now, you may think that you are refusing one message, but what you are doing is that you are at the process of hardening the heart. Every time you disobey a scripture, it's not just that the scripture you have disobeyed, it is that your heart has gained more hardness. Every time you deliberately go to commit sin, despite the fact that your conscience is saying, don't go there, don't go there, and you still, insist, you harden your heart, what has happened is that your heart is hardened. Your heart is hardened. So they said, they made their hearts like flint. Which means this condition I'm talking about, it is not that it just happened to you by chance. It is not that it just happened to you by mistake, or it came to you by accident. There's a process by which a man's heart becomes hardened. It may start little by little. It may start with one thing, Sometimes it may just be one aspect of your life that you are resisting the word of God to handle. But you don't know that what you are doing to your overall, to your heart in the overall, is that you are making your heart hard. So that even when other good things that God would have wanted to pass on to you comes, your heart has no receptivity to collect it again. So, a hardened heart can just begin from one sinful habit. A hardened heart can just begin because you are quarreling with somebody and you know that what you needed to do is just to simply apologize to that person. But because you want to do it, what you did is that you hardened your heart. But for me, that you harden your heart against somebody, maybe against your wife or against your brother somewhere, if it is just against that person, I would have said, okay, maybe when we settle that one, it will remove. But once you begin to harden your heart, for whatever reason, you begin to have a heart that is hardened. It will be hardened not just against the person for whom, with which you harden it. It will be hardened against every other thing that God wants to bring. There are people listening to me now. You didn't used to be a stubborn person. You didn't used to have a hardened heart. That was not how you started. But you can remember when you started to close your heart. Sometimes you began to close your heart to the word of God because a preacher is preaching it straight away and telling the truth. But because you don't want that truth to change that aspect of your life, you say every other thing they say, I like it. But this one, I don't. And when it comes to that one, what did you do? You hardened your heart deliberately. Now, but when you harden your heart at one point, the hardness doesn't stop with that point. The hardness spreads and it will take over the whole of your heart. Are you hearing me now? Your heart has become hardened, and yet you did not plan that you want to harden your heart against God. It's against someone that you thought was taking you for granted that you decided to harden your heart. But now your heart has become hardened altogether. And it is now a problem for the word of God and for the grace of God to actually, you know, affect you in a very significant manner. So he said, they have made their heart like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his spirit through the former prophets. They were refusing to hear the law and the words the Lord of hosts has sent. Now, the other passage that was again giving me an insight into how a heart can become hardened. And I just, you know, I decided to follow it like this because we could have just said, yes, you were born with a stony heart. That's true. But there is a process in which a heart becomes hardened. And that Proverbs, again, 28, Proverbs 28, which Sister Francia had read, verse 13 and 14 said, he who covers his sin will not prosper. For whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent. For he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So again, I want you to note, he who hardens his heart. What is the process of hardening a heart? Number one, when you desire to cover sin, instead of confessing and saying, look, Lord, I have fallen into this, please have mercy on me. When you decide to cover it, when you decide to hide it, what you did is that you are bringing, you know, the resourcefulness of your heart to cover sin. It has to become hardened. Because the only way in which you can carry your life about with a covered sin is that you must deliberately agree to become an hypocrite at heart. So the damage you are doing to your heart for covering one sin does not stop with that one sin. It continues with every other thing. So he who covers his sin will not prosper, will not progress. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent. When they use the word reverent, that means he's always, you know, in a condition of contrition. He is not fussy. He's reverent. He's meek. He's teachable. He's humble enough that God can help him. For he who hardens his heart, he who makes his heart tough, the Bible says, he is going to enter into many, many calamities. He will fall into calamities. Now, and when you now look at the Proverbs 15:12, that also added a little insight for us to add in terms of the process in which the stony heart is actually formed, the rigid heart. It's covered. Does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. So, what's the meaning of that? You can't be a scoffer except from the heart. It's a heart that disdains and disvalue whatsoever is to have come as a cancer. A scoffer does not listen. And what makes a man not to listen is that you have deliberately hardened your heart so that you will not listen. He said he will not even go to the wise. Will not go to where they can guide him. Will not go to where they can instruct him. He said, I know. Nobody should talk to me. I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you are doing. My brother, what you are simply doing is that your heart is getting harder and harder and harder and harder, and you are still hardening it. But when you have hardened your heart, the Bible says such a man will fall into calamity. Will fall into calamity. The last two passages we read in Psalm 25 verse 9 and in Isaiah 57, 15 was again bringing us a contrast. The contrast is that God, we relate with a meek. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And to be meek means to be open-hearted, to be broken-hearted, not to be stubborn, not to be strong-willed, not to be argumentative within your heart. That's what happens. And it is such a person that God teaches. God will not be talking repeatedly to someone who is resisting his instruction, who is hardening his heart. He said, their heart, they have closed, so that God will not be able to speak to them. Now, Isaiah 57 said, even though God is so high and dwelt in a very lofty place, even though our God is the high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. He dwells in the high and holy place, and also with him also, that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is what God does. You know, God is high up there, but he dwells, he makes his abode in the with people whose hearts are contrite, whose hearts are broken. God wants to come. So when a man has a hardened heart, he has already assumed a position of pride and arrogance. He cannot be helped. So the word of God cannot come to such a person. Or even if it comes, it cannot last, because it has no root through which it can develop. Now, let me quickly now ask that we'll read the summary under that first point that we have just read, a stony heart. Let's ask Brother Mark to read that for us. You read it up to the point at which we are going to take the second point.
Okay. Yes, the nature and characteristics of the stony heart, stony and rigid ground, letter A. A stony heart is rigid, tough, and resistant, like a stony ground that cannot easily receive or retain anything planted in it. Whatsoever is sown into this ground remains on the surface, as penetration is practically next to impossible. It is preformed, inflexible, and not open to any form of influence or instruction. Such a heart has been shaped by self-defense and is highly opinionated. It insists on its own viewpoint, resists alternative perspectives, and often forces its impressions on others rather than listening. Interaction with this heart is difficult and noisy. Meaningful change would require forceful efforts, much like attempting to carve on a stone. And even where possible, the results are characteristically minimal.
Minima. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I thought we should just take note of that summary, that the stony heart is rigid, tough, and resistant. But as I studied scripture, I found that men can make it so. And most of the time, you are the one that started the process. You may not know that each time you are resisting the word of God, you are making your heart stony, is becoming rigid, tough, resistant. Anything that is coming, say no. And a stony ground cannot retain anything that is planted in it. And one of the points that I would like to highlight, he said, it is preformed. It is inflexible and not open to any form of influence or instruction. Like we say, he will not go to the wise. He does not love anyone who corrects him. He takes offense if you should point to him what he needed to correct about his life. He takes offense. He will fight you as if you are doing something and forgetting that it was for his own benefit. He is highly opinionated. He's shaped by self-defense. He's always arguing. He's always defending himself. He's like, my position, I cannot let go. I cannot let go. Now, such a man cannot get far with God. Such a man cannot go far in the purpose of God. Your viewpoint that receives alternative perspectives, that forces your impression on others rather than listening, interacting with you is a problem. Noisy. What others will receive easily, you argued about it, you argued about it, and if you can win an argument, you are always excited. And yet, you don't go far in life. So that's the first thing we are noting. And Jesus said, the seed that fell on such a heart could not grow because there's no depth of soil with which the word of God could work. Now let's take the second point under that number A. The uncircumcised, that is the stony and rigid ground, the stony heart, is uncircumcised and rebellious through unbelief. Is rebellious through unbelief. And I would like us to start our scriptures to read again. Sister Jenny, we will ask you to go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 7. And then Sister Francia, you will read Hebrews 3:13. Then we'll come back to Brother Mark. Yes, you read Psalm 95, 7 to 8. Then we return back to Sister Jenny. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And then, Francia, you now read 10:16 of Deuteronomy. Again, as we are reading, I just want you to please take note, take your note, and underline issues as it is coming up. We are trusting God that God himself is reaching out to each one of us as we are looking. Yes, go ahead. Ezekiel 3:7
in New King James. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Amen.
But the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Oh my God, take note of that. Yes, we are going on. Hebrews 3:13.
New King James Version. But right. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, let's take note of that. We're going on. Then verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 95. Brother Mark.
Yeah, Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. This is the New King James. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Amen.
Thank you. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The New King James said, as in the day of rebellion. Right? As in the day of rebellion. Can we read the next one? Acts 7:51. Sister Jenny?
Acts 7:51. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness.
You are reading Hebrews? You have not left Hebrews.
Oh!
Now go to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Thank you.
My apologies.
No, it's okay.
You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Amen.
So again, we are noting, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. 10:16, Sister Francia.
Yes. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Amen.
Thank you very much. So, again, we are noting that the stony heart, as we are discovering it, we are beginning to see how it does form. The first thing is that it's uncircumcised. The Ezekiel chapter 3:7 that we read, noted that the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hearken to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. So every time a man is hard-hearted, he does not listen. Doesn't listen to the word of God. You know, we read the other time, he said, they will not listen to the word, the law. They don't listen. And even the word that God sent through the former prophet, they will not listen. They harden their heart. When we were reading from the Zechariah passage. But again, we now saw that in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible talks about the heart that is hardened through unbelief. The heart that is hardened through unbelief. So again, I saw that unbelief, just as it happened in the days of provocation, in the time of temptation, they hardened their heart. They said, we are not going again. And so all effort for the word of God to benefit them, they could not. So now Deuteronomy chapter 10 now says, be circumcised, the foreskin of your life. Cut it off. Let me read that again because I just want to press that with you before I leave the point. Now, 10:16, it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. So, the principle of circumcision, which we are going to talk about, is first of all the cutting of the foreskin of the heart. Every time God needs to do a new thing in a man's life, there's a circumcision made without hands. There's a circumcision that is meant to cut off. There's a foreskin. There's that cover on the heart that makes it hard. He said, and do not be stiff-necked. But I want to thank God that Jesus Christ, in order to make it possible for us, The Bible said we were circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. When you come into encounter with Christ Jesus by the cross, it is at the cross that this old nature, this hardened heart, was taken out, that you may have a new heart. Say, a new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. So the circumcision of the heart is a critical matter. He said they have not been circumcised in their heart, so they are always erring. They are always going astray in their heart. Now, this day, as we are studying the scripture, I just want to note with you that if you will not submit your heart to God, if as through unbelief, through rebellion, through refusal to obey the word of God, you keep hardening your heart, you keep hardening your heart. He said, he who is being rebuked or corrected, but hardens his heart, he will perish suddenly without remedy. You may be listening to the word of God here. Maybe you even left church fellowship because you hardened your heart. Maybe all the brothers and sisters that could have assisted you, who were speaking to you about the way to live for Jesus, because you don't want any of them around you, you hardened your heart. Some have hardened their heart even against the word of God as we preach. There are people that whenever they said, let's turn to Bible study, oh, Bragbile is coming to lead Bible study, because they know that the word of God will pierce their heart. They say, no, I don't want that kind of thing. Don't want that kind of thing. I don't know what you want. I don't know what you are looking for. If you are looking for anything that prepares you for heaven, I want to charge you, settle down. Settle down. If you are only looking for soothsayers, those who cannot penetrate your inner man, who just rub Vaseline on your outside, and you are looking as if you are okay, but your inner man is hard, I want to ask you, that's not the way forward. All those whose heart are on the stony ground, they didn't become anything in the purpose of God, in the hand of God. So we want to ask that these characteristics we are seeing of the stony heart, can you check whether that is what is happening on into your life? The trouble is that the stony heart is difficult to work with. It's too noisy. You don't get much. You labor so hard to get a little depth, but as soon as the sun rises, it withers out because there's no root at all. Now, let's ask Sister Francia, can you read the summary under that point number 2 before we go away? After that, we will now go a bit and read the book. Yes?
Uncircumcised and rebellious through unbelief. Given the fact that this type of heart is already made up, there is little or no room for objective reflection, meditation, or meekness. The man is unteachable, full of self, and prone to bending the truth to fit personal ideas rather than submitting to correction. Working on a stony heart is difficult. It is like digging into a rock. Any attempt to make this heart pliable and bendable would require force, and the impact, if any, is shallow and barely visible. It is the opposite of meekness. Does
the
God have
hardened heart, Sister Francia, please wait. The hardened heart is the direct opposite of meekness. The man is unteachable, is full of self, and is prone to wanting to bend the truth to fit his own personal ideas rather than submit to correction. Now, as we read the highlighted point, which our sister will read, I want you, it's that series of questions we want you to think about as we go ahead. Yes, Sister Francia.
Does God have to struggle repeatedly to change you? Are you defensive toward the word of God? Mm-hmm. Are you quick to rejoice only when your view prevails and slow to yield when advised? Do you bend the scripture to fit your views? Does it take great effort to convince you to drop an idea?
Now, these questions that were raised, they are questions for you to reflect. This Bible study, we are aiming at your heart. God is not interested in speaking to your head. Please check. Does God have to struggle repeatedly to change you? Are you defensive towards the word of God? Are you quick to rejoice only when your view prevails? And you are slow to yield when you are advised? Do you bend the scripture to fit your views? Or does it take great effort to convince you to drop an idea? That is not a sign of strength. It's a manifestation of that stony heart. And if you look very well, can you see whether you have made any progress? You find that you are always going around the same issues. And you don't know why. You have not sat down to know, to check. Why am I like this? The matter is because your heart is impenetrable. Your heart has no depth where God can put any treasure in it. You are always throwing back whatever is put inside. You throw it back. You throw it back. Your heart is so flat. At another point, we will note that that heart is superficial. It can't retain anything. It will throw it out in argument. It throw it out in self-defense. Now, if these traits are present in your life, you most likely have a stony heart. And you need to pray and ask the Lord for a divine intervention at this point. Now, before we go to the next point, number B in the outline, which is talking about no depth of soil to germinate, I would like us to quickly ask Sister Jenny to take the book. Can you take the book? Yes, thank you. And then you help us read from page 69, the stony heart. The stony heart. Now you may no longer read the verses that we have put because we have read it. We just go ahead and give us the discussion from the second type of ground. So can we pick it there?
Yes, sir. The second type of ground on which the sower's seed can fall is what we may simply call the superficial heart. Again, anyone who receives the seed into this type of heart cannot profit from the sowing of the word of God because the nature of this kind of soil. If we will not continue to be unproductive with the truth, we need to closely examine the scriptures quoted above to discover the nature and characteristic of this superficial kind of heart.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Number one, on stony ground. The first characteristic of this kind of heart is that it is akin to a stony ground. It is hard, rigid, and tough. It struggles to maintain its shape and form. It is precast and not adaptable. It is not permeable. And so the opinions of the superficial heart are rigid. It does not absorb or even consider alternative perspectives from the outsider. Rather, it forces its way to create a personal impression. It argues to have its own way rather than submit to a simple instruction. It is always self-defensive. Even if you succeed in planting anything in it, like an instruction, it may accept it only for a brief time, but it does not go deep down. A man with such a heart says, well, let me just keep quiet, but I have my own mind, and I know exactly what I'm going to do. There is no need for further argument, lest I am painted the black devil.
Did you see what he says? That's how he says, let me just keep quiet. He's not convinced. He just said, let everybody have their, I know what I'm going to do. So you have such persons, it may even be in fellowship, but it's not growing because it's not receptive. The word of God is not penetrating. He said, well, I don't want to talk again so that they will not paint me as the black devil. So let them go and do what they are doing. No. All right, Sister Jeanette, please go ahead.
Every digging on a stony ground is with great difficulty. It is noisy and raises a lot of dust. For any impact to be made on a stony heart, you need to exert force. You can only carve on a stone. Simple writing will not suffice. Even then, it will not be easily visible. That heart is preformed already. It is made up. Such a heart leaves little or no room for objective consideration or meditation. He is full of himself and does not readily bend to anyone. It is the direct opposite of meekness of heart.
Thank you.
Now, is that the picture of your heart? Does God need to struggle over and over again before a little change can occur in your life? Are you always in the attitude of self-defense to the word of God? Do you only rejoice when you are heard and when your own opinion carries the day? Do you insist on your own preconceived ideas? Do you seek to bend even the Bible to suit your peculiar opinion? Are you really teachable? Or does it take so much effort, fuss, and emphasis to convince you to drop an idea? If you are so rigid in your mind, unbendable, and cannot be advised, will it be wrong to conclude that up till now, the stony heart is that which lies under your breast? If you cannot honestly tell, then let us check from another angle.
All right. So the question we are raising, we are progressively checking. If your heart is having all these traits that I've been describing, I want you to know that it's a pointer that the heart that lies under your breast is that stony heart. And the need to cry to God and say, change my heart today. Touch my heart and give me a new heart will be a matter. But we want to go ahead and check again. He said, let's check from another angle. And the second angle we want to check is not much, not depth of soil to germinate. So go back to our Bible study now, outline, and we're going to go to point number B in the outline. No depth of soil to germinate. I want to read the passages we have read. I think we can skip. Okay, let's read Mark chapter 4, 5 to 6. And 16 to 17. So let's have Brother Mark to read Mark. So you read all of Mark. Anything Mark is your own.
Okay, sir.
And then we'll ask Sister Francia to read Acts chapter 28 and verse 27. And if Sister Jeanette should have message, if you have message, Bible, help us read Psalm 119, verse 11. You get it in message or in the Living Bible, we'll pick it up. Then we'll return back to Brother Mark. You read James 1, 22 to 24 for us. And Francia, you help us read Psalm 119, verse 130. Then I will assist by reading Proverbs chapter 14, 14 to 15. Let's go on quickly.
Okay, Mark chapter 4,
verse 5 and 6, and then we'll also read in the same fourth chapter, 16 and 17, and we'll read these in the New King James Version.
Okay.
Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 16 and 17. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Amen.
Wow. Thank you very much. So, then Acts 28:27.
New King James Version. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Amen.
Thank you very much. Again, we are looking at the fact that this heart, we're going to study that Mark 4 more deliberately, but let's read the Psalm 119 verse 11 from the Message. And Sister Janelle, come with us.
Psalm 119, verse 11. How can a young man live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. Amen. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so I won't send myself bankrupt. Amen. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it.
All right. That's okay. That's okay, Sister Jenny. That's a very good scripture we have read. The point is that when the word is not kept in a man's heart, when your heart has no space, no room, no depth, God's word cannot benefit. The word cannot benefit. Now, James 1:22-24. Brother Mark?
Yes, James chapter 1. Yes, sir. James chapter 1, verses 22-24. In the New King James, it says, but be doers of the word. Let's see, that's 22, right?
I wish you read
21
first. Yes.
Okay. Yes, sir. So we'll read 21. Yes, sir. We'll read 21 through 24.
Yes.
Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen.
Right. Thank you very much. So 119:130. Sister Francia?
Yes, sir. The Amplified Classic says, yes. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, and comprehension to the simple. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I want you to note the word, the entrance of your word. For the stony heart has no space for the word to enter. Every time the word of God is coming, it bounces back. It has no space to enter. And yet it's the entrance of the word of God that gives life and gives light and gives direction. Now I read Proverbs 14 and 15 again from the Amplified Version. It said, the backslider in heart from God and from fearing God shall be filled with the fruit of his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his ways, with the only thought and action which his heart prompts and in which he delights. The simpleton believes every word he hears, but the prudent man looks and considers well where he is going. Now, we have read these passages, and out of it all, they are all pointing at the fact that the biggest problem of a stony heart is that it has no space to receive. Has no space for the word of God to enter. There is no depth of soil for the word of God to germinate. So he said, because it had no depth of soil, as we read in Mark chapter 4, it will spring out. This springing out is not a growth. It's like a retorting, like a pushing out. Instead of it to go down and develop roots, so that it can have a base to operate. The stony heart does not give the word of God space. There are too many arguments about the word of God. It shoots it out. He may even retort it as if, you know, he has understood. He may even repeat it as if it has become his message. But wait, just watch it. In a few days' time, everything had withered. Any little thing that challenges his obedience to the word of God, he will pick offense, because there's no root. There's nowhere the word of God can enter. The stony heart is a shallow heart. The shallow heart. And Mark chapter 4, I really want us to look at Mark chapter 4 a bit more in this particular section before we leave it, because it's a very serious anchor for us. Now, in Mark chapter 4, look at that verse 5 and verse 6. He said, this seed fell on ground full of rocks because it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up. Not because it grew. The Bible said because it had no depth of soil. There's no correct plant that goes up before it grows down. Any plant that grows up whose stem is longer than his root is a temporary plant. All plants, any plant at all, whose root is superficial and the stem, the actual growth, is bigger, go and watch it. They are only for 3 months. They are 3 months at most. Such plants are plants like maize, or little grains, or the, what you call the veg, the vegetables, tomatoes. These are things that cannot last. And there are many tomato Christians in our time. Any little challenge, they are withered out because they have no root. They are so superficial that it shoots out everything. Sometimes a preacher may think he's doing well because you have a congregation that is always shouting back the word of God that they are hearing. They are shouting it back. You say, oh, they are falling. They are not falling at all. It's actually that they have no space to meditate. They can't take it in. And what is the problem? When the sun gets up, the Bible says it's scorched. And because they had not taken root, it withered away. All the because in that verse is what is touching my heart. He said, the seed that fell on the stony ground, where it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. Because it had no depth of soil. That's why it sprang up. It was supposed to go down, but it had no space. So it shoot it out back to you. Woe unto that farmer. When you plant and the first thing you see that your seed is shooting out back to you. No root underground. It's wasted. It's wasted. But say when the sun came up, it was scorched. And the reason is because it had not taken root. It withered away. And when you go to that verse 16 and 17 also, you will see, it says, when they hear the word, at once they receive it and accept and welcome it with joy. We're going to come to that later on. It's not every time that people receive the word of God with joy that it is positive. Either because they have no understanding of what they are hearing, or they are not ready to respond to the demand of the word of God. So they ridicule the word of God. What you thought was joy, they are just ridiculing the word of God. They are just joking with it because they are not ready to respond to the demand of the word of God upon their lives. Before you know it, they have no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. And when the trouble of persecution arises on account of the word of God, they immediately become offended. They become displeased. They become indignant. They become resentful. And they stumble and fall away. You see, all because the word of God had no root inside of them. All because it sprang up before it sprang down. That is the problem of this kind of stony, shallow heart. Now, before we move away from that, I would like us to read the summary now. Let's quickly read the summary. I think, Sister Francia, you are ready to read that summary for us. The stony heart, stony and shallow heart.
A stony, shallow heart may respond quickly to God's word, but cannot sustain growth because it lacks depth. Just as seeds need dark, moist, and broken soil to germinate, the word needs a heart that has room for meditation, reflection, and internal dealings. The superficial heart keeps everything on the surface, emotion, excitement, and reactions. So the word never penetrates, nor is it given opportunity to incubate. A person with such a heart handles the word of God hastily, superficially, and outwardly directing the word at others, instead of allowing the word to work within. Their quick springing up is deceptive, does not reflect true growth, rather the absence of death. They may appear spiritually active, even ministerially gifted, but their experience is shallow.
It's shallow.
They preach revelations they have not lived, speak louder than their obedience, and accumulate teachings only to appear knowledgeable. Under the thin layer of the soil of their heart lies stones of unbelief, tradition, culture, and hardness, all of which block the word from taking root. As a result, the life remains unchanged despite constant exposure to the word of God. Such a life is full of noise and activities, but emptied of lasting change.
Thank you very much. So let's take note of some of the highlights that we have brought out of that. Because of lack of depth, because of lack of space to assimilate the word of God, a person with a a superficial heart keeps everything on the surface. His emotion, his excitement, his reactions. The word of God never penetrates because there's no space for the word to have an opportunity to incubate. Such a heart, we said, is hastily superficial, and it will be directing the word of God outside, outward, at others, instead of allowing that word to walk within him. Now, we are saying all of this because, you see, when you see such a person that it looks as if the word of God is springing up, it's deceptive. In fact, it's the shortest way to waste the seed. Whereas we talk about the other one that the birds of the air quickly picked it up ever before understanding, this is even much more deceptive. Because you would think that this brother is catching the truth. You think he's following. But because there's no depth, any little thing, any little challenge, he'll be offended. He will start blaming you. As if the one who preached to him is the one that has put him in trouble. The same word that has blessed several of us, the same word of God that has grown deep into some of our lives and is producing results. When it comes to him, because he has no space for it to grow down, the thing does see, he says, he gets offended. He becomes disillusioned and say, what is all this? He becomes, you know, the Amplified say, he becomes displeased, he becomes indignant, he becomes resentful, and they stumble and fall away. All because there's no space for the word of God to grow. Now, we've said that some of them may even appear to have ministerial gifts. They may even be so much outgoing, wanting to speak. They preach revelations which they have not lived. They're eager to spread revelations that have never become their lives. This revelation has not gone deep. When God gives you a word, when God reveals his word to you, the first place God wants to lodge it is inside your heart. You persevere with it until it begins to produce results. Sometimes I used to say, don't go and quickly share what we are talking. Let it enter your heart first. So there is no revelation you are sharing. You are sharing impartation that has happened to your life. An impartation does not work out until implantation has taken place. The word of God must be implanted. So when our brother read James chapter 1, he said, put aside all naughtiness and superfluities of naughtiness and receive the word of God, the engrafted word, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. If the word of God has no room to be implanted, there's no space for us to expect you to grow any way at all. The thin layer soil under your heart that seem to have covered the stones of unbelief will not allow the word of God to take root. And so the result is that this life remains unchanged, full of empty knowledge, head knowledge, but there's no life impartation that we can point at. I want to again ask you before we leave this point, and we're going to read a bit from the book now, Not Much Earth. And so, Brother Mark, you are going to pick that for us and read it as quickly as we can.
Yes, sir. Not Much Earth. This is page 71.
Yes.
Every seed requires moisture and soil to germinate. Mm-hmm. Too much sunshine and heat destroys a young plant trying to shoot out its roots. Mm-hmm. So every plant needs the cool, dark, and yet porous environment to develop, which only the free, broken, plowed soil can provide. Here again lies the problem of the superficial heart. It lacks soil.
It lacks soil. Let's take note that I want you to emphasize that. It lacks soil.
Soil.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Mm. it lacks the necessary depth of thought for the seed to at least hide in order to germinate. For the Christian with a stony heart, everything is on the surface and exposed. His emotion is on the skin. His thoughts are so shallow that it cannot provide enough covering for the seed, the word of God. And so, no meditation on the word can be effectively sustained for any reasonable length of time. As the word of God falls on it, it bounces back. It is like a reflective surface. The angle of incidence is equal to the angle of reflection.
That is, as it comes in, so it goes out.
Without.
As it comes in, it doesn't penetrate, it bounces back. So it will look and see, oh, this man is getting, no, it's because there's no room. It lacks soil. The soil of the heart, where the word of God needs to stay, for it to work, for it to germinate. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart. When there's no space to hide the word of God, the trouble is that nothing happens. Nothing happens. That's the bane of that superficial art we're talking about. My brother, go ahead.
The way and speed the word falls on it is the same way and speed it is reflected out and directed at someone else. Such superficial hearts have no space for storage or incubation. Quote, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. This is the deception about this kind of heart. It immediately springs forth. It is the first to come out, not because the processes of germination, growth, and root bearing have taken place, but because there is actually no room for the word to penetrate. No depth, no personal internal effect has been created. It is a rerouting that most of the time takes place in this kind of heart. If it hears a hot message now, he is eager to direct it at his wife or someone else. He does not allow that word to penetrate into his own system, so that it can then shoot forth as a stem with life sap and green leaves and all the gradual processes of fruit bearing.
I hope that is clear. I hope that this thing we are describing, you will take note of it. Even though we are using agricultural terminology here, it is because the planting of the word of God actually takes the same process with the planting of any seed. Whereas the ordinary plants of seeds need ordinary soil, the soil that the word of God requires to be able to take root and produce eternal results, kingdom lifestyle, is the soil of the heart. And if the heart is too porous, superficial, I can't take anything in, you can be sure that this man will not be benefited with the word of God at all. He may be rerouting the word of God to others. Like we said, he may go and preach it hard to the wife. It will look as if something serious has happened to him. Just wait for 2 days. He will have abandoned it. And the wife will be wondering, were you not the one saying this the other time? The matter is that a superficial heart is of no benefit to the kingdom of God. If you are carrying such a heart, I want to charge you today that you need to present it to God and say, Lord, change my heart. Change this heart for me. I'm too much on the surface. Nothing is deep. Nothing is deep. You cannot sustain a conviction for a little time before everything will disappear. You can't carry any burden within you. It will just finish. You can't think deeply about anything. Your heart is too shallow. Please go ahead, my brother.
Yes, sir. He is eager to affect others with the raw, unbroken, ungerminated seed rather than wait for it to affect his own life first. He is loud and excited with another man's experience rather than be patient to allow the practical outworking of God's word from his own heart. Someone can even be a minister with this kind of heart. His experience, internal, personal, is shallow, yet he is springing forth here and there. If such a minister receives a revelation of God's word in his quiet time today, he is likely to preach on it the next Sunday. Help us, Lord. He will likely rush to print a magazine using what he has not proven, chewed, obeyed, and made to work in his own life. And because he does not allow the word to sink deep first into his heart, he usually speaks louder than his experience of the word of God. It is important to note that this kind of heart can be very excited about every new revelation of God's word, not because he will allow it a chance in his life, but so that he can have more arrows to shoot at others.
At others.
He can listen to several messages just to appear knowledgeable, but still, his life is unaffected by the word he has heard. He is hard at heart. There are stones under the soil of his heart, stones of unbelief, tradition, even church tradition, culture, and others.
Thank you very much. Now, this is the challenge about this kind of heart that we're looking at. My problem is that it is very deceptive. It may appear as if it's active, but this is what leads to hypocrisy. He says so much beyond what the word of God has produced in his life. He knows so much, but his heart is too shallow. He spread thin, no depth. And such a person is always eager. They are always rushing to appear, to speak to people, to do things, and yet go into their own life. The word of God has not been given a chance. They are not broken sufficiently for the word of God to become a life. And until God's word becomes your flesh, say, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, you will not have any enduring effect on people's life. Because even if people take what you are preaching seriously, when they look back, to see the man who shared the word with them, he has withered. They say, why you not the one? He said, well, I proved it is difficult, so I have to be reasonable. You can imagine a man who has preached others into the truth. He himself now has backed out because there is no depth in his heart. Now, as we are going on today, I have a critical matter in my hand. I think I would have loved us to go on dealing with the matter of Ruth, but because we need to deal with that very critically, I would just want to finish off for today by looking at the next point. He receives the word with excitement, not with trembling. We will then stop at that point and come back next week to deal with lack of Ruth. Because the lack of root is a critical matter in Christian life. Much of the superficiality we see in churches now, people being swept up and down with all kinds, all forms of doctrine, is because of this superficiality. And I sense that I need to give it a little space when we come next week. So let's go quickly with number three, while we reserve number four and conclusion for next week. It looks so short, but it's a very important matter that I do not want us to rush. Now, we're going now. He received the word with excitement, not with trembling. So let's quickly pick our scriptures. Isaiah 66. Sister Jenny, you please read Isaiah 66, verse 2 for us. And you may even read verse 2 and 3. Now, Philippians chapter 2, 12. Sister Francia, but I would like you to read it from Amplified Bible. Philippians 2, 12. 2, 12 and 13. I would like you to read that for us from the Amplified Version. Jeremiah 23, 29. Brother Mark. And as soon as you finish Jeremiah, you go to Ezekiel for us. You will start reading Ezekiel 33, 31 to 32. Sister Jenny, you now return back to read Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Because we have read James chapter 1, verse 21 to 24, we will skip that at this point. Now, Acts 2, 37. Sister Francia, you read that for us. 58, Brother Mark again. 29, Jeremiah 29, Sister Jeanette. Let's quickly get going.
Isaiah 66, verses 2 and 3.
Yes.
For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word.
Who trembles at my word.
He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations.
All right. God has no interest in any man, no matter the offering and sacrifices, when your heart does not tremble at his word. But we saw this man, he receives the word with excitement, but not with trembling. And that's what is wrong with the superficial act. Go ahead, Philippians 2, 12.
And 13 in the Amplified Classic.
Yes, thank you.
Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. 13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Amen.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to combine this passage and Isaiah 62 and 66, verse 2, when we are discussing. Let's go to Jeremiah 23, 29.
Yes, sir. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 in the New King James. It says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? And then Ezekiel 33, verses 31 and 32 in the New King James. So they come to you as people, do they? Or let's see. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. Amen.
That's a problem. That's a problem of this stony heart. They can even enjoy preachers. They can even stand up dancing when you are preaching, but it will not penetrate their heart. And because now in our generation, even preachers, they are entertainers. They are happy when people are jumping up and down when they are speaking, because it boosts their ego. They are not interested in discovering that God's word is not to entertain. Every time God sends his word, it's a seed that is cast into people's life. It needs to penetrate. It needs to pierce. Good preaching must pierce the heart. If people just enjoy and dance when they come to hear you because you are a good orator, but nothing is going on in their heart, you have wasted the space. You have wasted the word of God. He says, so these people will come as the people normally come to the church, to fellowship, and they would sit down as if they want to hear the word of God, but they will not do them. For with their mouth, they show much love, but their heart goes after their own covetousness. They come, you are like a pleasant voice. They like to hear your voice, as if you are singing a very lovely song to them. But deep down in their heart, they will not do that. Now, such people that receive the word of God with excitement, but no trembling at the word of God, it does not produce the kind of result that God is looking for in his church. Now, let's take the last of the verses before we conclude at that point. Hosea 10:12. Yes.
Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy.
Yes.
Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Amen.
Sow for yourself righteousness. Break up your fallow ground, so that God can come and rain the rain of righteousness upon you. When he used the word the rain of righteousness, I see God pouring the seed of the word of God on your heart. I see God desiring that, look, let me plant this man. Let me cultivate his heart. Let me get them to become what I want them to be. That's why he said, you know, my dear ones, don't just receive the word of God when we are present, but when we are not there, the same enthusiasm you will show, much more because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence, with awe and trembling, with self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. You are not doing it in your own strength, for God is the one who is all the while at work effectually in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire to both will and to work for his good pleasure. So what we are saying in this portion is that to receive the word of God with excitement, with dancing, while I don't say it's okay, it's wrong, but if it's at the expense of trembling at the truth, of receiving the word of God with a sense of serious responsibility, with a sense of commitment to say, this word is a treasure. It must not fall away. You know, what I found and I want to share with you is that one single seed of the word of God that enters a man's heart has capacity to produce, you know, like a mighty tree, bringing forth large branches. One little seed of the word of God in your heart that you have allowed to grow, it can produce great results, hundredfold. We don't know how many thousands of people will be blessed if you allow the word of God that God is casting into your heart now to produce results. Now, before we stop, and we will need to stop at this point, I think Acts chapter 2:37 says, when they heard this, their hearts were pierced. And I said, good preaching must pierce their heart. Any preaching that does not pierce men's heart to the point of repentance, it will not benefit. It will not benefit. It will just be an entertainment. So you are not going to experience genuine revival with a heart that is superficial, a heart that only excites, but it does not tremble at the word of God. Let's conclude by reading Matthew 15:8 and Jeremiah 29. Which is in Matthew 15:8 for us?
Yes, sir. Matthew 15, right, verse 8.
Yes.
In the New King James, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Amen.
And 29 of Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then yes. I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Amen.
That's what the word of God does. He said, my word is in all like fire. When it enters a man's heart, even if you decide not to speak about it, once it starts burning inside of you, the effect of the word of God is what will make you, you know, a fiery preacher. So we cannot even seek to produce or reproduce men who will speak the word of God with effect until their own heart has been burning. The word of God that has not burnt on your heart cannot become a fire on your lips. The word of God that has not broken through your life cannot be an instrument to break other people's hearts. As we stop on this note, I would like us to quickly read the summary under that, and then we will come back when we come back next week to pick up from there. Let's ask Sister Janet to help us read the summary under that point number C, the stony, superficial heart receive God's word with emotional excitement. Can you do that for us?
Receives the word with excitement, but not with trembling. The stony, superficial heart receives God's word with emotional excitement, but without depth, sobriety, or obedience. Such a heart celebrates the word outwardly, yet refuses to let the word penetrate inwardly. A man with such a heart claps, shouts, and displays outward enthusiasm, yet does not pause to consider what God is actually demanding. This heart treats the word lightly, as something to enjoy rather than someone to obey. Intentionally or unintentionally, this heart regards the word as mere texts or ink on paper only and avoids the weight of conviction and the discomfort of repentance. God's intention for sending his word is never for entertainment. Every time his word comes, the word carries definite life-transforming implications. The word is described as the engrafted word, James 1, verse 21, meaning it must be implanted into the believer's life. This requires cutting away the old Adamic nature, practical application of God's counsel to every aspect of our lives, and receiving the word with meekness, not excitement. This process is often painful, demanding humility and willingness to change. You need to examine yourself at this point. Do you respond to the word of God with shouting or trembling, but without any thoughtfulness and obedience? Have you become superficial in your dealings with God, allowing stones beneath the surface to block the word from taking root? True reception of the word is not marked by loud screaming, but by meekness, trembling, and thoughtful obedience. The word must be allowed to cut, burn, break, and ultimately transform your heart. Amen.
Thank you very much. That's where we're going to stop for today. And even for the book, when we come next week, we start at that point number 3, so as to create a link where we are stopping today. But I just want to ask, the extent to which we have reached in this discussion, what is the condition of your heart? Sometimes you may not think that you have a stony heart. That's why we are looking at it on the other side. Is your heart just simply superficial with lack of soil? It doesn't have depth. You can't sustain any meditation and any conviction of the word of God for any length of time. It dissipates quickly. You are eager to dance, but to sit down and say, what is God demanding of my life? You never take thought. And so the word of God is passing, and yet it is not doing any serious result in your own life. We said the word of God, God's intention for sending his word is never for entertainment. Even though the word of God could make us happy, but it's not primarily to make you happy. The word of God is primarily to make you holy. It says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God will give you joy only when you have obeyed it. The word of God you have not obeyed, whatever happiness you have about it is deceptive. The word of God will want to pierce through your heart and plant something there forever. And I pray that you won't be treating the word of God lightly. You will come to obey the word of God. You will enjoy the word of God if only when you have begun to obey it. If intentionally your heart does not regard the word of God more than just being a mere text, something we just read and go away, I want to say to you, it is time to call on God and say, Lord, do something to my heart. Do something to my heart. I want my heart to be receptive. I want my heart to become something you want to make use of. Cut off, you know, the circumcision of the foreskin. Lord, cut off my old natural heart that I may have space to receive the engrafted word that's able to save my soul. We're going to stop at this point. The study will continue, but you see, you know that what we have left next week is about root in yourself. So, and I'm going to need to spend a bit of time looking at how to develop root in yourself, because superficiality cannot make you a vessel in the hand of God. Superficiality will not allow you to go far. You will soon wither out. I even see so many brothers who started ministry, they started churches. It has withered out because there's no root. Some of what they are talking about is not a conviction that grew out of their heart. Some, you download something from the internet and you are shouting it about. That's not how to become a vessel in the hand of God. I would like you to please join me as we pray together now. Our time is really now no more on our side. I want you to please pray, bow your heart, and let's talk to God. I want to talk to God this time and say, Lord, my heart cannot be so superficial. I need depth. I need depth. I need soil. I need something that can cause me also to be sprouting and be growing. My root is getting deeper and I'm becoming a blessing to my generation. Lord, please help me. Help me. It may be short-temperedness that is always catching the word of God in your heart. Ask God, uproot it. And Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice, I will come in. Jesus can give you another heart that will be hungry for the word of God and will be ready to receive the word of God and germinate with the word of God and produce great results as we are going on. May God help us as we pray together. Please bow your heart as we pray. Father in heaven, as your servants and your children are calling on you, opening their heart to you, and not taking things for granted. Lord, I ask that you please reach out to us. You made a promise, a new heart will I give you. Celebrate as we went through, he said, circumcise your heart, circumcise your heart. Lord, I ask for that sharp knife. Let it do this job in our heart from today. Some did not begin to have a hardened heart. It was because they began to harden it against one person, or against one particular truth you have taught them, or against one matter of obedience that they are sluggish about. That's what has made their heart hard. Lord, put your hammer on this now and break our heart. Break my heart, O God, and make it conducive for the seed of life to come in. Lord, we beg you this moment that all those who are saying, Lord, my heart, my heart, my heart, touch their heart. Break the heart, O God. Remold their heart. Make it open. Make it conducive. Make it the kind that can cause your word to grow. Please do this for us as we pray together right now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.